Focusing on our 2022 congregational theme, Share Jesus. As I was praying about this year towards the end of last year, this theme just sort of dropped into my heart, and I felt that it's something that I should put before you. It's something that we should emphasize this year. It is a very simple biblical truth, yet it is a mandate given to each one of us individually and to the church collectively, and that is that we should live a lifestyle in which we are sharing Jesus with others. In my first message, we looked at the Great Commission of Jesus there at the end of Matthew chapter 28, that we're to go into all the world, we're to make disciples, we're to baptize, we're to teach. And then we moved into the 9th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus looked upon the crowds, and it says that he was moved with compassion. And I shared that we will never share Jesus unless we too are moved with compassion. And then Jesus told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." As we continue this brief series, Share Jesus, I invite you to look with me today at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll be reading in just a moment for you verses 17 through 21. I shared with you last week that I would share last week on why we need to share Jesus with others. This week and next, how to share Jesus with others. Well, I want to reverse just a little bit. I'm going to continue to share a little bit about why we should share Jesus. And at the end of the message today and then next Sunday, I will share more specifically how we do that, how we practically share Jesus with others. But again, we're in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter. I'm going to read for you my text in the order in which I'm going to share it with you, or I'm going to unpack these scriptures with you. So first, look with me at verse 17, and if you've been a believer very long, you know this verse, you love this verse, much like John chapter 3, verse 16. It's a verse that we stand upon. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." Can you say amen to that? And then I want you to drop down to verse 21, because this is what I'm going to deal with second, and that is, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, verse 18. "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Let's pray. Father, I would ask this morning that you would remove every distraction from us, every distraction out of our mind. And Lord, that you would help us to receive the word that you have for us today. Lord, Share Jesus is not just a catchy phrase or a theme. It is your heart, Lord. It's the heart of what Paul wrote in this passage that we just read together. Lord, speak to us individually. Cause us, Lord, to take to others both the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Lord, even as we move into this year, show us specifically people that you would have us to reach out to with intentionality, to pray for, Lord, and to believe that you're going to open the door and the opportunity to both share and to show the love of Jesus Christ to them. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You know, there are many reasons and many ways that we should share Jesus. I want you to consider with me what the Apostle Paul wrote here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. First of all, we should share Jesus because of the change he brings. Back to verse 17, this very familiar verse of Scripture that many of us can quote. This was not simply a theological statement that Paul makes here about salvation. This was really Paul's personal testimony. If you look in Acts chapter 9, you have the account there of Saul, who later became Paul, his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. And from that point until the time of his martyrdom, Paul was laser focused on sharing Jesus with other people. We share Jesus because of the change that has occurred in our lives, and the change that we know it can bring in the lives of others. You know, being in Christ is one of Paul's favorite phrases, because being in Christ literally changes everything. Truly, every person that you know and every person you don't know, every person on planet Earth really falls into one of two categories. Either they are in Christ, and my prayer is today that you are in Christ, and if you're not, that you will take that step to be in Christ. But every person on planet Earth is either in Christ or they are outside of Christ. Note, I did not say in religion or outside of religion, because when Paul was on that road to Damascus, he was a very religious person before he met Christ, and he simply knew what religion could do and what it could not accomplish. The change that comes when one is in Christ is so dramatic that Paul calls it a new creation. It is something being created that was not there before. Now, there's other ways that Paul describes what takes place at the moment of salvation. I love Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, where it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So there's a rescue operation that takes place the moment we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ. And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Here Paul is very, very personal. "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." The bottom line is this: Christians are brand new people. We aren't reformed or rehabilitated or re-educated. We are created. We don't turn over a new leaf. We begin to live a new life. The message of Jesus, the message of the cross, the message of the gospel or the good news is a message of new life. Have you experienced it? Has it truly changed your life? Do you believe that its message can change the lives of others? Let this powerful verse just saturate your heart and your spirit and your mind. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." We share Jesus because of the change he brings. And then drop down to the second verse that I read, down to verse 21. We share Jesus because of the price that he paid. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And back up to verse 18, it says, "All of this is from God." The work of salvation, the work of a life being changed, it is the work of God from start to finish. Let me read verse 21 to you from the New Living Translation. I believe that it offers greater clarity. It says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the sin offering for our sin so that we may be made right with God through Christ. Note, Jesus had no sin. That did not change when he hung upon the cross. That did not change when the moment that he died. He was still the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. He did not have sin, but he was our sin bearer. All of the sin, past and present and future, was laid upon him. And that's the reason that he cried out when God the Father turned from him, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was there that he tasted of that cup. And the moment he died, he said, it is finished. And that was an accounting term at that time. Much like today, if you pay off a loan, they tend to stamp it in red. The date that it is paid in full, doesn't it feel good to get something like that? Maybe you've paid off a car or paid off your mortgage or a loan, and all of a sudden you get that in the mail, it is paid in full. That's what that word, tetelestai, or it is finished, that Jesus spoke the moment that he died upon Calvary. He paid for our sin in full. You see, he could not have become a sinner and still been a sinless sacrifice for us. He bore our sins. Hebrews 7 says this, such a high priest, he meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sin, then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. In other words, Jesus got what we deserved. Jesus got what you deserved. Because Paul tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So what is the effect of that? What is the result of that? Look at the last half of verse 21 there, that we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, we are able to stand before God righteous, right before God. Not based upon our righteousness, not based upon our track record, but fully based upon what Jesus did upon the cross. Josh McDowell, who's probably the best known Christian apologist that there is out there, describes it this way. He describes it sort of in a declaration of faith. He said, we believe in the truth that Jesus, the sinless Son of God, atoned for our sin through his death on the cross, and the offering of his blood as a sacrifice for sin redeems us so that we are forgiven, set free, and raises us to new life in him. We share Jesus with others because of the price that he paid. And he has set in motion a ordinance of the church. We have two ordinances of the church. The first is baptism. And I believe every person who has made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ should follow the Lord in baptism. It's sort of like a spiritual birth announcement. It's saying spiritual life has begun in me. It's a public testimony of a personal commitment that you have made. But there's another ordinance of the church that also Jesus set in motion, and it's not a one-time like baptism is, but it's an ongoing, as the Bible doesn't give us the how often we should do it, but as oft as we do it in remembrance of him, and that is communion. And when we do that, what do? We remember the price that he paid. And it's something we need to be reminded of again and again. Regardless of how long we may know the Lord and serve the Lord, we need that reminder on a regular basis that Jesus took our sin. He took the sin of the world. And it's not just about us personally, but it's about proclaiming his death until he comes. We share Jesus. We do it because of the change that he has brought in our lives. We do it because of the price he paid. And now I come to really the heart of what I want to share with you, and it's found in verses 18 through 20. We share Jesus, and I want you to let this sink in. We share Jesus because he is counting on us. He is counting on us. He is counting on you. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled himself through Christ, and listen to this, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The last half of verse 19, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. He gave us. He committed to us. He is making his appeal through us. You and I represent Jesus Christ. He's given to us, committed to us, this ministry, this message of reconciliation. He is making his appeal to a lost world through us. He is counting on us. He is counting on you. Have you ever had someone say to you, you can count on me? You can count on me. Only to later discover that you could not count on them. A couple years ago, I had a tree removed in my backyard, and there was a stump that was left, and I thought, well, I'll get someone in to remove this stump, and I'm not singling anyone out, because what I discovered in the pandemic, being at home, there are all kinds of tree services, so you have no idea of who I'm talking about. It's amazing how many tree services there are out there, and being at home and being able to watch all these various tree services, so I thought, well, what I'll do, there was a tree service down the street, I'll go ask them if they'll remove the stump, and he said, absolutely, we'll get that out of there, we'll probably do it today, and it didn't happen. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just call and remind. So I called and left a message or two. And eventually I talked to him. He said, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's going to be done. And a matter of fact, I'm going to do it for you for $150. But I'm going to do it for you not on the regular hours. I'll be there after hours. I'll bring my son. We'll get that out. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Guess what? It still didn't happen. I left numerous messages. I even stopped by an additional time. I saw their trucks out. I thought, well, this will do it. I'll pull up here and just give them a friendly reminder. And so it's been about 2 years, and it still hasn't happened. But you know what? I was counting on it happening. I really thought I was going to pull in the driveway, and I'm able to see it's sort of in my side yard. I was going to be able to see that the stump was gone. It's still not there. A matter of fact, it's got one of those snow markers on both sides of it, because I'm afraid there'll be a drift and a snow. Someone will come by in one of those snowmobiles and hit the stump. I don't want that to happen, so I've even got it marked where it's at in case we get a high snow. I was counting on it happening, and it didn't happen. You've had that experience. Maybe you've had it in a much more painful way. You've had it in a relationship. Someone said, you can count on me, but you couldn't count on them. Well, I want you to know, my friend, that we share Jesus because he is counting on us. He is counting on you. There are some people I cannot reach, and even others in this church cannot reach, but you can reach because they are people that you have contact with, and you may be the only believer that they have contact with. God is counting on you. Did you know that your reconciliation to God comes with a commission from God? Your reconciliation to God comes with a commission from God. And that is the ministry, the message of reconciliation. What does this word reconciliation mean here? It means to change thoroughly, to change completely. That's what reconciliation means, and it's in the context of our relationship with the Lord. Warren Wiersbe writes, God does not need to be reconciled to man because that was accomplished by Christ on the cross. It is sinful man that needs to be reconciled to God. Religion is man's feeble effort to be reconciled to God, efforts that are bound to fail the person who reconciles us to God is Jesus Christ. The place that he reconciles us is at the cross. You see, God's done his part. He has done his part. Now we must do our part, and we must share Jesus with others. That happens when we move from beyond being simply a recipient of the grace of God to becoming a proclaimer of the grace of God. And if you're the average Christian in America, it's not going to happen. That's the reason I would challenge you, don't be average. These words were written over 500 years ago. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are his body. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on the world. Christ has nobody now on earth but yours. Let that sink in. This ministry of reconciliation has been committed to us. Now look with me at verse 20. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." For decades, probably for many decades, the youth ministry in Assemblies of God churches across the board was known as CAs. Now, most of you, there's a few of you in here that are nodding your head. You remember that. But that for decades it was CAs, and every youth group, they didn't come up with their own little neat name. They were just CAs. And every church was to have a CA group, and CA, of course, stood for Christ Ambassadors. And on a monthly basis, for many years, you would travel to other churches in your area, known as a section or in a district, depending on the size of the section, the district. But there were usually several churches, and they would have CA rallies, Christ Ambassador rallies. Now, the interesting thing is, it wasn't just youth. A matter of fact, almost everybody would come to CA rallies. There would be senior adults that would be there. Oftentimes, they would sit in the back. And there was even a Christ Ambassador song, theme song, that you would sing as you began the rally. And again, this went on literally for decades, and no doubt not here in this sanctuary, but no doubt in the old sanctuary, which today is the chapel, no doubt there were CA rallies there. And a few people here today, just a handful of people, remember what it was to travel to a CA rally. So what does it mean to be an ambassador? What does it mean to be Christ ambassadors? Since Jesus no longer walks on this earth in the flesh, his people, you and I, we are his ambassadors. We should act on his behalf. We should speak on his behalf. We should have the mind of Christ. Our hands should do the work of Christ. Our hearts should feel the love of Christ. And our message should be this: be reconciled to God. Listen, Satan is doing everything he can to tear this world apart. Just watch the news. Do you ever see anything encouraging on the news anymore? I mean, I don't know how people leave it on 24/7. I mean, just the 24-hour news cycle and listen to the same bad news. You know, if you're discouraged, maybe that's the reason you're discouraged. Maybe you need to cut that way down. I still remember when world news was once a day. It came on at 5:30, and that was it. I mean, any other news, there was something catastrophic that had happened. The president had died or we had gone to war, and they would have a special news bulletin to let us know of something like that. But friends, our world is falling apart, and ours, the church's, is a ministry. Ministry speaks to me of service. It's something that we do. We have this ministry of reconciliation. Our lifestyle, our attitudes, our actions, all of these things should speak of reconciliation. But it moves beyond our service. We have a message of reconciliation. It's a message of reconciliation between God and man and between one another, between people and people. The church should be a great example of this message of reconciliation, as should your life. In Paul's treatment of the armor of God in Ephesians 6, he describes a vital part of our armor, the part of the shoes. He said, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In a broken world where there is no peace, we should leave footprints of peace in people's lives. They should look at us and see there is something different about them. I love the way Oswald Chambers describes it. He said, our lives should make people homesick for God. Have you ever been around someone that just made you homesick for God? That should be our lives. We have been called and commissioned to share Jesus with others. And what a privilege that is. It should not be this heavy burden and this responsibility. It should be a joy for us. It should be a privilege for us. And it's interesting, I wish I had time to develop this, but we see, you can check it out in Scripture, check it out in the New Testament, that is this: where the gospel goes, you find joy. You find joy in the lives of people. When Jesus sent out the 72, they came back what? They came back rejoicing. There was joy. And it could be that joy has dried up in our lives at times simply because we're not sharing Jesus with others. We're constantly receiving, but we are not giving out. We share Jesus because of the change that He has brought in our lives. And if He has truly changed us, we will want to share that with other people. We share Jesus because of the price that He paid when He died upon Calvary's cross. He has paid it all. And we share Jesus simply because of this. Have you thought of it before? He is counting on you. It is a rare thing that He bypasses humans. He uses us. He uses us. How did you come to Christ? Did He appear to you? Probably not. Could He? Yes, He did to Paul. There were people who were no doubt praying for Paul. But He used other people, didn't He? There were individuals strategically placed in your pathway, and they shared Jesus with you. He is counting on us. He is counting on you. And let me add here, there should always be a sense of urgency in sharing Him with others. And also, it should be done intentionally. And I'll talk about that more next Sunday, that we need to be very intentional and very prayerful about who we share Jesus with others. But 2 Corinthians, if you look in the next chapter, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Let me stop right there. That word vain literally means into emptiness. Into emptiness. God's grace being shared into emptiness. Paul said, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, into emptiness. That means where it's not going to produce anything. It's not going to be shared. The message, the ministry, it's not going to go forth. You may rejoice that you have received God's grace and God's forgiveness, but you never move beyond that, so it's gone into emptiness. It's never producing anything. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Listen to this, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I circled those two words there, now. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. You see, Paul was a now Christian. Be a now Christian. Share Jesus now. Don't be average. And if you don't know Christ, come to him right now. Let's pray. Father, I would ask, Lord, that this message, Lord, from your word would sink deep into our hearts. Lord, that we would share Jesus, that you